Welcome. So glad you could join us for this time of Bible study. If you've got your Bible handy, please go ahead and turn it to the book of James. James is such a practical book. It's a book that is written, as Martin Luther said, pithy yet powerful. We're all in a time of new beginnings. We're all being tested. We've got so much around us that seems so different as it's ever been in any of our lives. And a new beginning is not a bad thing, but it's a testing of our faith. And our faith at times is alive and vibrant, and at times it's just, well, just to be frank with you, it's dead, just dead faith. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because you see, James begins to warn the believers in Christ that their faith can either be vibrant and alive and active, or it could be dying and maybe even dead. So let's take the word faith for a moment and just break it down. I want to give you an acronym. You know, an acronym is just taking one word and then putting a phrase with it to help us to better understand that word. So let's take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. Let's begin with that first letter, the letter F. Let's just give it a phrase, facing. Facing attacks in total hope. Do you get it? F-A-I-T-H, F, facing, A, attacks, I, N, T, for total, and H, for hope. We're all under attack, one way or another. It's not just something that we see televised with some attacking others because anger is rampant these days. It's a matter of being under attack as a believer in Christ every single day of our life. We're fighting against an enemy that is not just around us. And if you're a believer, he's not just inside of you, but he's out to get you. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whomever he can devour. Satan's attacking, but then again, so is life. And all circumstances seem to put us under the test for our faith. So let's begin. I want to read that portion of James. And if you've got your Bible handy, please go ahead and turn with me to chapter number 2. I'm going to focus on verses 14 through 17. Here's the way the scripture reads. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So you see, when I talk about dead faith, I'm not just pulling something out of the air. I'm going back to the scripture and the warning that James had for those who were believers then and what God has for us who are believers now. So let's begin by looking back at verse number 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? You know what that is? It's declaration without demonstration. In other words, we say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Sure, I'm a church member. Yeah, I get it. God gave his son for my life. I get it. But then our life doesn't back it up. We don't act like we're changed people. We don't act like our faith is deep. When we get into a fix, we run. We hide instead of going to the Lord. Now, there are two questions which demand answers that come right out of the scripture. The first one is this. James asked, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds at all? Well, the answer to that is, it's not going to work. It just doesn't click. It's not the Christ way. The second question is, can such faith save him? It's written in the Greek New Testament, the New Testament language, in such a way as to really be expecting a negative answer. In other words, perhaps it could be better understood this way. This kind of faith, there ain't no way it's going to save a person. Well, I know that's Southernese and it's a colloquialism, but nonetheless, it's just plain and straightforward. We've got to have faith that has demonstration. We can't have just words alone. That doesn't work in the walking for the Lord. So the two questions, they've already been answered. Dead faith doesn't work. And all talk and no walk is no way for the believer to carry on his or her life. I like what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Folks, all words and no works are dead. It's a dead kind of faith. And God's giving us the opportunity to show and to demonstrate that our faith is alive and that it's not a matter of just resisting what we feel is coming up against us. It's a matter of knowing that our faith offers hope and that our facing of the attacks in whatever way they may be coming to you, emotionally, physically, financially, that our facing of these attacks is not hopeless. It's done in total hope, F-A-I-T-H. So I made one expression and I want to make a second one. The first was that we cannot live with a declaration without any demonstration. But let's move on to verses 15 and 16. Here's what the Bible says there. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed," but does nothing to meet the physical needs, what good is this? So if declaration without demonstration is dead faith, then let me say secondly, knowing a need without expressing a deed is also a deadly expression of our faith. Everybody's got a basic need. We all have needs. And we all know that the basic needs of life are food and clothing. And the Bible reminds us that God will meet our every need according to His riches in glory. Doesn't mean that we don't care about it. Doesn't mean that we don't prepare by being certain that we've got enough of the basic needs. But it also means that we need not to fret over it all. Believers not only need to take care of themselves, but what James was saying and the Holy Spirit is saying to us is that believers ought to meet others' needs. We can't just say to a person, "Be warmed and filled, God bless you, hey, have a nice day," and then walk away. I believe that God puts opportunities in front of every one of our lives. He allows people sometimes to come into our life, and many of them are what we would consider to be an interruption. They've come into our schedule. They've squeezed us in our space. But then again, it's a God test. And God is wondering, how can you meet your own need and not care about the needs of other people? Where the church is today and where it's located is in the center of need. Whether it be on the south side of town, the north side of town, the west or the east, whether it be downtown, uptown, whatever, God has put a church, a center of His people, into a place of need, and we've got to meet that need. So what's the need around you? What about in your neighborhood? What about the need in your own family? Sometimes we can walk away and say, "Well, hey, I made it and I'm strong, and they ought to do the same thing as me. They ought to get up off their lazy backside and just get on with life." Well, you know, folks, sometimes people need a hand up. They're not necessarily looking for a handout, but they're looking for a hand up. And who is better equipped to give that than the believer in Christ? There's a third expression of what I want to share with you today. It's not only declaration without demonstration that's dead faith, or not meeting a need without giving anything indeed, but thirdly, it's having a profession without any possession. What am I saying by this? Well, let's look at verse number 17. Here's what the scripture says. It says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith by itself, what does that mean? It means that there are no acts of mercy in our life. I like what John Calvin wrote years ago. He said, "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone." Can I read that again to you? It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. In other words, what he's saying is that if we just have a profession of our faith, saying that I'm a member of this church and I'm a part of the community of believers, but we really never flesh it out. It's profession without possession, because there are a lot of good people in this world, but there are not a lot of godly people. And what God is looking for is for his children to be active and involved. Now, the word dead is used there, and it's a hard and harsh word. But James said it this way: in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. What does the word dead mean? It means lifeless. It means useless. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said in the letter, the second letter of Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, these words. He said, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" Well, you know, friend, I think God's got a test for every one of our lives. It's not just by putting certain people in front of us and allowing us to go through certain circumstances. He's allowing us to deepen our faith, and he's testing us to be certain that we are true to his word and true to the profession of our faith. We cannot profess something that we do not possess. And there are too many people today that are professing that they have the right truth, the only truth, sometimes the prejudiced truth, but they don't really possess the living truth. The living truth is Jesus himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to me except, or no one can come to the Father except by me." So you say, well, that's so exclusive. Of course it is. But it's also inclusive. It is exclusive because it requires faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that he's not just going to get us through this life, but he is the one who walks us through this life. I don't want a dead faith. Do you? I want to be able to examine my life and have God examine my life and be able to see that I have a true profession, that I am a person that is meeting the needs that God is bringing and placing before me, that I'm a person that can make a declaration and give demonstration that my faith is real, that I'm facing the attacks in total hope and not walking away from them. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verse number 12 says these words, "He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life." How's your life right now? If it's invested in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, it is a life that has every potential, some of which you have never experienced as yet. I've got a cluster of questions for you before we close. Here's the first, and I'm asking myself, just like I'm asking you, what are you saying as you are expressing your faith but not doing? What are you saying but you're not doing? In other words, we say, hey, I believe, I trust, I want to be a vibrant witness, but then again, our mouths and our minds are closed to talking to other people about the way, the truth, and the life. The second question is this: who have you blessed today? I mean, God has put somebody in front of you. It may be that you picked up on a text, or maybe a Facebook post. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe it was somebody at the grocery store or somebody where you were pumping gas. But God is putting people in front of us so that we can bless them. Not because we have the power to bless them, but that God has blessed us. And in the overflow of our faith, we can bless them by encouraging them, by helping them, by asking them a vital question. Do you know God? Have you seen the power of Jesus Christ? Those are blessings, folks. I stopped by a pickup truck the other day off of Washington Road in Augusta, Georgia. And as I did, I was, of course, looking at the watermelons that were in the back, and I was really ready to go ahead and have a vine-ripe watermelon. Well, I stopped by there, and there were four guys on the back of the pickup truck, and they didn't look like they were trusting me too much, so I just kind of tried to disarm them by saying, hey, I'm just here for what you've got, and it looks great. I want one of those watermelons. So they knew that I wasn't coming to them because they were in a neighborhood that they thought maybe I didn't belong in. They knew that I was really there to get what they were trying to sell. So I spent a moment talking to them, not only about a watermelon, but about the provision that God offers every one of us. You never know, folks. Wherever you are, you have an opportunity. And I'd love to tell you that those four guys got on their knees and said, "Yes, Jesus is Lord." Two out of the four said, "I know him as Savior." The other two looked to the ground. But you know what? I wanted to be faithful. And so I planted some seeds of the gospel in their life, reminding them and reminding me out loud that there really is only one way to truth, and his name is Jesus. Here's the last question. Are you faking your faith, or are you living it? I want to be a guy that lives his faith, and I want to be a part of a church family that is vibrant and alive in their faith, that faces every attack, however it may come, in total, absolute hope. Well, let's pray about that together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the way that you inspired James years ago to talk to early believers, and the way that the Spirit of God speaks through the power of his word to every one of us, even now, in days and times, in such where we find ourselves right now. God, would you use us as a blessing? Would you help us not to be guilty of saying and not living, of declaring and having no demonstration, of having words without works, of making a profession and really not even having the possession of life itself. Oh God, today we pray that you would surround us, help us, encourage us, and that we would be a blessing to you and to others. In Jesus' name, amen.